Well, good morning to you. It is Monday, the 28th of November, and you're listening to Galway Talks with me, Sally Ann Barrett, here on Galway Bay FM. Coming up on the show today, Athenry commuter calls on Éireann Ró Éireann to increase capacity for passengers as she highlights dangerous and stressful conditions. Minister for Older People addresses community concerns on future of daycare centre at St. Brendan's in Loughrea. Former Galway football star Michael Meehan will be here to discuss the challenges of keeping children involved in sport. Winter and Christmas skin advice with Lisa Mangan Lyons from Be Unique. We'll have a review of the weekend's local sporting action and financial advice with Dave McCarthy of McCarthy and Associates in Woodkey. Plenty of news, views and interviews here on Galway Bay FM. Well, as always, you, our listeners, are a huge part of the show here on Galway Talks, and we would like to hear from you this morning. If there's anything you would like to give us feedback on, to tell us something that happened over the weekend or something you think we should be addressing here on the Current Affairs programme, do please let us know. You can contact me right now on WhatsApp 0870 958 968, text 53995 or call Siobhan and reception at 091 77 007, or you can email any of your comments or queries to galwaybayfm.ie. Don't forget, if you did miss any of our previous shows from last week, you can check out our podcast on galwaybayfm.ie. Just go to the podcast tab there and you'll be able to catch up on all the previous shows hour by hour. Thanks very much to Dave O'Connell, who kindly sat in there on Friday. It's my final day with you today. Keith will be back with you in the hot seat from tomorrow, so you'll be glad to welcome him back. He's had a well-deserved break there. So final day today, so let's have a bit of fun with it today. Now, before we go any further, I do want to just mention some very, very sad news there over the weekend with the passing of the late Bishop Martin Drennan, the former retired Bishop of Galway. He passed away there. Word emerged on Saturday he was aged 78. And as we know, he was Bishop of Galway and Kilmacdua and apostolic administrator of Kilfenora. He retired back in 2016. Now, the current Bishop of Galway, Michael Deignan, did offer his sympathy to Bishop Drennan's family, to his friends, to his community, and his many friends across the region as well. You will have heard on our news bulletin, they are carrying news of his funeral arrangements. So that will be happening in Galway from 7 to 10pm on Tuesday, with the funeral mass there at 1 o'clock on Wednesday in the Cathedral of Our Lady Assumed into Heaven and St Nicholas there in Galway. So do stay tuned to our local news bulletins throughout the next couple of days for all the updates in relation to that. Another issue that I would very much like to mention this morning is something I noticed myself when I was leaving here on Thursday. Those traffic lights out at Carrinmore Cross there. Now, that has been causing some issues. I do see that Senator Ollie Crowe took to Facebook last night and he posted the following, in which he said, despite raising this repeatedly with Galway County Council, the lights at Carrinmore remain out of action. It's extremely dangerous. There has already been one incident. This is last night, he was saying. Minor, thankfully. And please exercise great caution if passing. Now, he says it's his understanding that a Dublin-based company has the contract for maintaining the lights, but it's a 5-day contract, so they do not work on the weekends. This is according to Senator Ollie Crowe. He says that needs to be immediately addressed. It's an extremely busy junction 200 yards from the motorway, and he says it's simply unacceptable for lights to be out of action for 72 hours or more. Now, we did contact Gardaí to see what happened in relation to that collision there. John did contact the local Gardaí here, and we were told that Gardaí attended the scene of a road traffic collision at Carrinmore Cross Galway at about 10 to 8 there yesterday evening. No injuries were reported, so minor by all accounts there. But I do see a number of messages into our WhatsApp this morning. One man saying there, you know, traffic lights out since Thursday at Carrinmore, what's going on? Another caller says they went through Carrinmore Cross twice in the last 20 minutes and said no delays, no queues on any of the four approach roads. Flashing amber lights are the future, so says our caller. So what do you think? You can WhatsApp me now on 0870 958 968, or you can text me on 53995 right now. So I want to go to our first item this morning, and again it is to do with transport, because dangerous and stressful. That's how one Galway Talks listener has described her daily train commute from Athenry to Galway City, as increasing passenger numbers result in less capacity on board. Now, September's budget saw the 20% reduction in public transport fares extended to the end of 2023, as is the 50% discount on the youth travel card. but is the capacity in place on our public transport to meet demand? Galway Talks listener Suzanne got in contact with us here on the programme, and I spoke to her just before we came to air, just before she went into work, about some of the concerns she's witnessing on her daily commute.
I get the train daily from Athenry to Galway, the 7:50 train in the morning. And from the middle of this year, there's been a problem with crowding on the train. It's kind of started, there's a lot of students have started using the train. And I know that's because the fares were reduced for young people from 19 years of age to 23, that the train fare was halved in order to encourage young people to use public transport. And so since it's just that the problem is that the Irish Rail haven't increased the number of carriages on the train. And so every day now, like I think that train can hold maybe seat about 150 people. So every day there would be at least 200 on it. Even today now I was on it and there was about, when I got on, there was about 30 people standing. And then an hour more, another maybe 30 got on. And it's just that there's just nowhere to stand. And it's just very unsafe. That's what worries me. You have nothing to hold on to. And it's just very, very stressful as well.
Yeah, so and that's a word you've used, yeah. Suzanne. You've described the situation as dangerous and stressful.
It is, yes. It's just that if that train were to stop suddenly, you've nothing to grab hold of. As it is, you've nothing to grab hold of because people are just standing in the clearing there between the two doors. And then they're down the corridor between the rows of seats. People are sitting on the ground and people are actually sitting on the luggage racks. Today I saw a young lad sitting up on the luggage rack. It's just dangerous.
I suppose we're all conscious that we're in winter flu season and COVID hasn't gone away as well. I mean, in those kind of cramped conditions, I know you're a healthcare worker, you mentioned, you know, are there a lot of people wearing masks or what's it like on that front?
Nobody's wearing masks, no. You know, when you compare this to this time last year, we were all sitting a metre apart, and now it's the complete opposite. We're just all in there together. Yeah, and I haven't ever seen masks on that train, or very, very rarely.
Do you have a sense, Suzanne, that other passengers there share your frustrations at the situation?
Absolutely, because when I mentioned it to the train driver, leaving Athenry, he said that he's already had numerous complaints and that he has informed his superiors. And in Galway Station, I talked to the supervisor there and he told me to put my grievances in writing. So I did email Irish Rail about the problem. He did reply. They said they're working on it, but they're just waiting. I think they're trying to get more money to buy more carriages.
You were kind enough, Suzanne, to give us a copy of what you sent to Irish Rail, and you did email them. You asked them to please consider increasing the capacity of the Athenry to Galway 750 service. You told them you use it every day to get to your job as a healthcare worker in UCHG. You said it's packed every day as students who cannot get accommodation in Galway City are commuting from other towns. There's at least 30 people standing, including yourself, in the carriage and you are currently on, and another 30 or so in the second carriage. And then you said it gets even worse at the point where people get on the train in Oranmore.
Yes, that's right.
Suzanne, I just want to give our listeners a sense of the full. I just want to give our listeners a full sense of the reply that you got from Éireann Road there, and they said, "We're sorry to read of the uncomfortable experience you have in your daily commute, and they'd like to assure you it is always Éireann Road Éireann's intention to provide customers with a safe journey." It says, over the last 24 months, passenger numbers on all of our morning and evening services across all of our commuter routes have increased significantly, with record numbers now travelling on the services. As you can appreciate, all our rolling stock is currently in use, so it is not possible to add extra capacity to services. And they would also like to assure you management are very aware of this issue and monitor all services daily. They said they're also working with the National Transport Authority to secure funding to allow for additional carriages to be purchased to meet growing demand. And they would like to apologise on behalf of Éireann Road Éireann for any discomfort experienced and assure you all your feedback is reviewed by management in order to provide the best possible service there to customers. So my reading of that is that they're aware of this for at least the last 2 years.
I think so. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And there's nothing been done. And so daily we have to go through this regularly. So we just wish now something would be done about it. But it is frustrating. Because the people, the actual workers in the railway station are very sympathetic, they can see the problem every day and their hands are tied. they said there's nothing they can do themselves. It's the powers that be that can only help us here. So,
can I ask you, Suzanne, do you dread the morning commute now?
I actually do now. That's the honest to God's truth. I used to love that journey in the morning, but now I just know that it's just the stress of it every day. Like when I get to the train, you can see everybody standing already. And then like I have to stand there for 20 minutes, then a 20-minute walk up to the hospital, and that's the beginning of a 10-hour shift. It's just so stressful. Even in the evening coming home, the trains have got so busy as well. You know, there's days you'd have to stand, not as often now, to be honest, coming back, but it's still stressful there coming home in the evening as well. Just the crowds has just got so big since this fare reduction.
And you did say to me that you agreed it's a good thing that more people can use public transport, but if the capacity isn't put in place, then it's going to cause an issue.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Because my own son uses the train to get to go to and from college, and it is great. And it's just that they haven't increased the capacity for us. If they just do that now, then that'll be perfect. But until that's done, no, it's just too stressful.
Galway Talks listener Suzanne speaking to me this morning after she had just arrived into Galway City from the 7:50 service there from Athenry to Galway City. She's a healthcare worker there at UCHG, just describing what her daily commute has turned into. Another tweet that we found as well in relation to train services to Galway. This tweet went up yesterday evening, and it basically says, standing in the aisle on an intercity train from Houston to Galway as we speak, it's severely overcrowded. There was a 3-hour gap until the next Galway train out of Houston. I'll drive next time. It gets better. The train is stuck in Tullamore for 15 minutes and counting, waiting for the train coming the other direction. This tweeter says, I'm actively trying to use public transport more. It's fine most of the time, but a few horrendous experiences like today will seriously discourage me. Cheaper fares is the easiest thing the government could do. Improving frequency and capacity is where they'll be truly judged. Chatting to a couple who were also standing long distance with their kids today, they said they'll avoid it and drive instead for the foreseeable future, especially in the run up to Christmas. Now, that tweet went up yesterday at 12:30 on a Sunday afternoon, and that was that particular train user's experience. So what do you think? Do you have an opinion on this? Do please let me know. 087-0958-968 on WhatsApp, or you can text 53995 or call Siobhan now on 091-77-0077. Already we have had a number of messages into our WhatsApp in particular. This first texter says, surely that's not appropriate with health and safety. That's what our caller has to comment. Also another one here, good morning. My fiancé travels every weekend on the Dublin-Galway train, and he notices that lots of seats are taken online and people don't take the seats. Definitely not enough carriages on, can't get seats, but still paying for his tickets. This caller says, is the park and ride happening this year in Galway City? Yes, as far as we're aware, but it's happening a little bit later this year, texter. I think it's not starting until something around the 11th of December. I think that's what Councillor John Connolly told us on the programme yesterday. So that'll be available there from the racecourse. And I think it's only €1 each way. And it's my understanding kids are free as well. So that'll be great once that's up and running. But the issue is here from people from the commuter towns who are trying to get into Galway City for work in the morning, what they're experiencing. Suzanne, our Galway Talks listener, telling us about her daily experience there as a healthcare worker on the 7:50 train from Athenry into Galway City. Paul has been in contact about that situation where the lights have been out at Carrimore Cross since Thursday. Paul says Carrimore Cross is a disaster. The traffic from Oranmore and Clare Galway are not stopping. It should be every second car. Okay, do let me know if you have something to say. WhatsApp 087-0958-968, text 53995. We'll take a quick break now. When we come back, we will be talking to the Minister for Older People, Mary Butler.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
Welcome back to Galway Talks here on Galway Bay FM. The time now, it is 9:29. Well, before the break, we heard from our Galway Talks listener, Suzanne, who is telling us about the overcrowded conditions she's currently experiencing on her daily commute from Athenry to Galway City on the 7:50 service there that comes from Athenry Railway Station. A text into us here on 53995. Morning, same problem with the bus. This caller says, we were waiting at 10:55 last Saturday in Gort. It arrived 10 minutes late but didn't stop as it was full. We had to be in Galway for midday and we were very lucky that there was a kind lady that then had to drive and offered us a lift. Thanks so very much to her. Well, that was lucky that you had a good Samaritan who was willing to do that. Another texter here says, hi, just wondering why there isn't any news about the fatal accident at Caravula on the Tuam Galway Road on Saturday night, Sunday morning. Is the road still closed? I can tell you, caller, I know that that was carried extensively on our news bulletins yesterday. That happened just after 12:30 a.m. on Saturday in the early hours of the morning there. We have been told that that road is reopened. It has been reopened since 4:30 p.m. yesterday. So that road has reopened there. If you have anything else you'd like to let us know about this morning, do please let us know. We have more messages in here about Suzanne's piece. It's not only healthcare workers who are inconvenienced on the trains. It's all workers, students and all users of the train service. And that comes in from Mary. Thank you for your comment, Mary. Yeah, I suppose we were just highlighting that Suzanne is a healthcare worker. And I suppose for her, the daily commute rather than taking the car, she's trying to take the train because, as we all know, there's a lot of extensive parking issues there for those who are trying to get parking at the hospital as well. So it was her choice to take the train, but that's what she's experiencing at the moment. Kevin has been in contact to say, with the price of petrol, diesel and crazy car parking prices in particular, families have no option but to bite their lip and board the train. Well, actually, just on that, Kevin, I was here last Thursday and we were talking just about have petrol and diesel prices started to come down. Anecdotally, what have you been seeing out there as our listeners? Somebody texted in that they had been in Roscommon and saw that diesel was down to 171. And I said, well, if that's true and we're seeing that prices are higher in Galway and the environs here, you know, that's terrible news. But I was actually in Roscommon myself on Saturday afternoon. I was in Roscommon town and I saw a particular forecourt where they could not keep it done. The diesel was down at 171 and there was queues out the gap for people trying to fill up there and it was absolutely constant. I had to get diesel myself as it happened. So I got my diesel and went in to pay and you were under such pressure to get back out of the car to move out of the way because there was a queue of four or five cars behind you that were trying to do the same as well. So it is coming down in parts, but not everywhere. If you do have a comment on that, do please let me know. WhatsApp 087 0958968 or text 53995. Now, the Minister for Older People has spoken out on community concerns regarding the future of daycare services at St Brendan's in Loughrea. Currently, the centre operates one day a week from the purpose-built Seven Springs Day Centre at St Brendan's Community Nursing Unit, while a further 3 days are offered at the Loughrea Hotel. The Chief Officer of Community Healthcare West, Bridget Crehan-Roach, has told Galway Bay FM there within the last month that this is because HICWA had requested the Seven Springs Centre space be used as a communal space for the nursing unit. But locals campaigning for the return of the full daycare services to the St Brendan's campus are not happy with the ongoing relocation. Minister for Older People Mary Butler attended last Friday's first ever National Meals on Wheels Network conference in Athlone, and so did I. And while she was there, I managed to ask her about a number of issues which are affecting older people in Galway right now and what her priorities will be.
So initially it was to get our daycare centres back up and running. So we've 91% of them back up and running. What we did during COVID was we did a risk analysis of all the premises when they were closed, because some of them may not be conducive to infection prevention and control measures, because we have to be conscious of COVID. You know, we're still aware that there are people, you know, getting COVID and hospitalised with COVID. So first going down it was to get the daycare centres back up and running, dementia-specific daycare centres back up and running, working very closely with the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. We now have 38 of them open. Meals on Wheels, hugely important. And I suppose one of the other areas we have been concentrating on are the ICPOP teams, the integrated care programmes for older people. So kind of a one-stop shop for older people to support them as they age well at home, to support them in relation to whether they're at a risk of fall, for example, whether they might be at risk of stroke, you know, checking their blood pressure, and they look at their gait, how they walk. And these are really, really important programs that we have. So we've 22 of the 30 ICPOP teams operational throughout the country and hoping to have them all operational by next year. But that's really important. My aim as minister is to support older people to live well and age well at home. I also work very closely with Age Friendly Ireland, I was able to support in next year's budget €5.2 million, so that we'll be able to put a dedicated person in every single local authority in Ireland, all 31 of them, to support older people if they'd like to right size, to get the correct information if they would like to right size as they grow older. But the one thing I do want to say is that the voice and choice of the older person will always be heard first. And one other point, I was delighted to secure an additional €1.8 million in funding for Meals on Wheels going forward for next year, because it's such a vital resource in the communities and so important for people who live in really rural areas.
Now, I know you mentioned in terms of the premises for the daycare centres, there was a lot of concerns raised in different areas by HICWA. One of those areas was St Brendan's in Loughrea. There's been a lot of issues there, a lot of frustration locally about what's happening there.
Yeah, I suppose one of the issues in relation to St Brendan's, and it was raised by several of my colleagues, including Minister Anne Rabbitt, a lot of the daycare centres that we haven't managed to open successfully were associated or were included in community nursing units. So they were either part of or adjacent to, and we're still dealing with COVID outbreaks in community nursing units, our old community style hospitals. And we didn't have, I suppose, enough space, for example, to bring people in who weren't inpatients, for example, who weren't residents of the nursing unit. We weren't in a position because we didn't have enough space to segregate people. And it's not, segregation is not a word I like to use, but you know, you'd need two kitchens, for example, you'd need two dining rooms, you would need two sitting rooms, so that you weren't going to have cross-infection. And any of the nursing homes that we have failed to open to date, that was the reason behind it. Now, we have secured the resources from a local hotel, and all the services are being provided there for people. But our aim is to secure a long-term solution. And for any of the nursing homes that we haven't managed to open yet, and we hope to have them all open by the middle of next year, long-term solutions are being put in place. And one thing COVID did for us was, they made us look at the premises we were using. Were there hot running water, for example, in the bathrooms? Were there infection prevention and control measures in place? Were they suitable for people with disabilities? And from one point of view, I suppose, one advantage, I suppose, during the lockdown and COVID was we were able to look at each one of these facilities and make sure they were fit for purpose. So look, daycare centres are such a hugely important resource for older people, coupled with Meals on Wheels, and we want to get them all up and running. And I'd also encourage people who have found it hard to come back to the daycare service. Some of them lost very good friends during COVID and they find it hard to come back out again. But I would encourage people to do so. Maybe try it one day a week and then build 2 days or maybe 3 days a week. Very important resource.
Another vital area of your brief as well is the home support services, yes, the home care services. Now, I know you've done a lot in terms of allocating the hours. The problem that we're seeing, I suppose, with people on the ground that are waiting for the services is there's a huge issue when it comes to staff and securing staff. Is that something you're concerned about now coming into the full-on winter months?
Yeah, it's something that I'm really concerned about. So today, as we speak, 56,000 people will receive home care in the home, maybe once a day, twice a day, or three times a day, depending on how complex the care requirement is. But as I stand here today, there are 6,200 people on a waiting list needing home supports, and we can't fulfil that, not because of budget. The budget is there. All those 6,200 people are funded, but we don't have the carers to deliver that. So I put in place earlier this year a strategic workforce advisory group. So in the Department of Health, working across all the departments, working with the public, private and the voluntary sector to see how could we make caring, how could people look at it and make it a career choice? We lost a lot of carers during COVID because people were concerned they might have a child at home with an additional need, or they might have elderly parents and they decided to move maybe to retail, for example. A lot of our carers also went back home. We had European carers. So there was, there was 16 findings in the report, and I've taken on board each of the 16 of them. So I'm just going to touch on three of them. One of them was that a carer should be paid the living wage, which is currently $12.90. Some carers are not on that, you know, they might be only receiving 10 or 11 euros an hour. The second thing is all carers should be paid mileage if they have to travel. And the third piece is that we are going to look at permits outside of the EU to bring in carers. So we have done that successfully for nursing homes. We have 1,700 carers that came in on permits. So now I'm working closely with Minister Damien English. We will be announcing this in the next couple of weeks. But the work is going on in the background to make sure that we can allocate 1,000 permits to people outside the EU who would like to live in Ireland and who would provide caring. And even if we could get 500 of those carers in, it would halve the waiting list.
Minister Mary Butler, who is the Minister for Older People Services and Mental Health, speaking to me there at the National Meals and Wales Conference in Athlone last Friday. Okay, she had a lot to say there about some different issues. What we're going to do is we're going to get some local feedback on this from one of our local independent deputies here in Galway. We'll do that straight after this.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
Welcome back to Galway Talks here on Galway Bay FM 9:43. Now, well, just before the break, we heard from the Minister for Older People, Mary Butler, just about her thoughts of some of the issues that are facing older people in Galway right now. We heard her talk about home help and the shortage of such. And we also heard her talk about the ongoing situation there at St. Brendan's in Loughrea and the future of the daycare services centre there. I'm joined now by Independent Deputy for Galway East, Sean Canny. Good morning to you, Deputy Canny.
Good morning, Sally Anne.
Now, look, I know this issue with St. Brendan's has been rumbling on quite a while, a lot of back and forth on this. Within the last week, I know that there was a meeting there that took place. It was held between Breda Crehan Roach, who is the Chief Officer for the HSE Community Healthcare West, and her officials and representative of the concerned citizens there, that are a group of locals who are concerned about the future of the services there at St. Brendan's. That happened last week. You were one of the facilitators from that. A number of concerns there, Sean. Has it done anything from what you've heard from Minister Mary Butler there to allay those concerns?
Absolutely not. I think the Minister, in all good faith, is talking about COVID and talking about the effects of COVID and what happened during COVID, etc. And that is correct in many places. But in Loughrea, in the Seven Springs Day Centre, the situation is different, because we have received documentation under Freedom of Information which shows that the HSE designated the daycare centre as part of the community nursing home as far back as 2017. And that is why HICWA are involved in the day centre, because the HSE re-registered the community nursing unit and included the daycare facility within it. At the same time, and the records will show this, that the HSE had put forward four other options by which they could solve the problem with their dining space within the community nursing unit. And they have never acted on any of them since 2017. So basically, they were very simple projects that needed to be done, like taking one bedroom and converting it in to extend the existing dining room within the nursing unit, or to take two rooms together and create a new dining room. Obviously, the community nursing unit would lose one bedroom at best. But right now, and since COVID, there are 30% of the beds are empty in any event. So that's that. When we met Breda Crehan Roach and her team last week, we had 10 questions for her to answer. And the first one was in relation to these options and what happened with them. And the fact that the HSE are blaming HICWA for directing them to do certain things. And I can confirm that HICWA did not direct them. It was the HSE who made decisions themselves as far back as 2017, long before we had COVID, to sacrifice the day centre and add it into the new community nursing unit.
And you have that now clearly situation, on paper. You have that clearly stated on paper at this point.
We have that under Freedom of Information. The minutes of meetings which were held between the HSE and HICWA have that there. So basically, that's the history of it. The other issue there is that the day services in Loughrea were provided initially in a house that was provided by Mrs. Topping. And that house then was sacrificed in order to build a purpose-built day centre for the people of Loughrea and for the elderly people in Loughrea. And that was done. And a purpose-built day centre was put in place almost 10 years ago and has been operational, very effective, very successful, and enjoyed by a huge amount of people over them years. It is a beautiful room, and the irony of it is when we met with the HSE last Monday, we met in that particular day room, and we were there from 10 o'clock until probably 11:30, quarter to 12, and it was empty. And the only other thing we noticed was that some of the existing rooms, which were therapy rooms or whatever, were in the day centre, are now occupied by senior staff of the nursing unit. So I do believe there is a solution to this, and a very quick solution. And the solution would be for the HSE to go back, look at the four options that they had, which were very simple, three of which did not require planning permission or anything else, just a little bit of work to be done. They are now talking about repurposing another building on the site for a day centre. Some of the concerned citizens had a look at that building from the outside. They know the building, and they're of the opinion that that building, it's dark, it's dreary, it's narrow, small windows, and it will be a total contrast to what they have had in the purpose-built daycare centre that they had. And the simplest thing for the HSE to do is not to get caught up with blaming HICWA, not to get caught up talking about COVID issues. This decision was made long before COVID came along, and solutions were put forward by the HSE themselves to HICWA, all of which were acceptable, and the HSE had to decide which one they would do. And lo and behold, they turned around and they decided, no, we're going to take over the day centre, which was purpose-built for the older people coming in every day, and put it as part of the community nursing unit. If we keep going along this road, we will not see day services up and running within the campus for at least a year, if not longer, because planning permission will be required, designs will have to be done, all of that kind of thing. And sitting there with the sign outside the door, day centre, and an independent entrance into it, and it is a standalone building. Okay, it's attached to the nursing home, but it's not actually part of the nursing home until 2017, when the HSE in their wisdom decided to do that, and that was wrong.
Okay,
I've had a lot of people on to me about this, and basically they see this as something that is wrong.
Okay.
And can be put right.
2 points on this, Deputy. Bree de Crown Roach there from the HSE is on record here through her contribution to the newsroom here, saying that she hopes that new building would be open in 2023, but there was no definitive timeline given on this. And secondly then, from what you witnessed in that meeting and the documents that you have received via Freedom of Information, do you feel that this vindicates some of the core suspicions that concerned citizens had there as to what was going on in terms of the building, why it was being put out of use, and what the future held for it?
Well, I think that the concerned citizens of Loughrea, that group, had been vindicated. No doubt about that, they have been vindicated. We did put the questions to Bree de Crown Roach, and in fairness to Bree de Crown Roach, she wasn't there when decisions were made. But what it is, it's HSE who made these decisions, and it's the HSE who can reverse them and reverse them now. But basically, the people have been vindicated in that. Why was this building redesignated part of the community nursing unit back as far back as 2017 at least? And secondly, when we talk about repurposing another building, there is no timeline, there is no program, we don't know when it will be there, and it's very easy to say it'll happen next year. That's a long time, it's 12 months, and will it happen within that time? And as well as that, the older people who have been discommoded, and funnily enough, the unit can open one day a week, but can it open 4 days a week? That itself is a bit of a contradiction.
Yeah. Sean, we have a texter here is asking, can you explain that? How can the centre be used on Wednesday but not the other days? This is so mysterious. It's
one of the questions we've asked, and we haven't got the answer to. And I would also say that the other thing, in fairness to the hotel where they have been located, the hotel is a hotel. It's not a purpose-built daycare centre. And in fairness, the enjoyment and the services that they had up in the Seven Springs Nursing Home was absolutely top class, and there's no denying that. And they contributed towards that, and the Toppings Trust put money into that. And at this stage, I am hopeful that the Toppings Trust realise what actually is going on here. But we can't give the answers to the questions you're asking. The HSE have to give them answers. But I would ask them not to use the HICWA as the reason they cannot bring back the day centre. We know for sure that they can do it if they use one of the other options. And one option, very simply, is it knocking a wall between the existing dining room that's in the nursing home and one bedroom, and create an additional bit of space. Problem solved. That would take a couple of weeks.
Finally, Sean, time is coming against me. I know we were due to talk about your concerns about nursing home closures, but we'll have to return to that on the programme. But I just want to be very specific on this point. The term misinformation was used in relation to the information that was being circulated and the points that were being made here. I know that that was very annoying for a lot of the citizens who had real concerns about what was happening. What's your thoughts on the use of that term now? Has that been kind of taken out of the argument now with this documents you've received under freedom of information?
Absolutely, and I do also, it was unfortunate that that term was used, and I think it has really and truly made the Loughrea Concerned group very vehement in their total, like when somebody says that that's misinformation, and you know well what you have is the correct information. And secondly, somebody also said it's been politicised. It's not. This is something that needs to be rectified. The HSE have it in their gift to do it. And forget about what people said here and there, whatever. The important thing here is that we get the daycare services up and running in their own purpose-built unit, which is there for the people of Loughrea and should be used by the people of Loughrea. The other issue is in relation to the space for the dining room within the community nursing unit. There is a solution to that. It could be done in a matter of weeks. Why it's not being done, why the options were not being considered, I cannot answer that, but I would be seeking another meeting with Peter Breton Roach to try, and she has offered to meet us again so that we try and find a resolution. I was very disappointed to hear 24 hours after our meeting that she announced that we're going ahead repurposing a building when she told us 24 hours before that she was actually considering all options. So I just think that that kind of thing isn't helping the situation, or isn't helping finding a proper, quick, permanent solution. And that's what I want to do.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that update. Deputy Sean Canny there, East Galway Independent TD on that. Okay. Well, if you have an opinion, do please let me know this morning. WhatsApp 087 0958 968 or text 53995. We're going to local news at the top of the hour.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.